Father, thank you for your goodness toward us, Lord. Thank you for this church that each one of us, Father, we know we're here because you have destined us to be here and ordained us to be here, Father, to hear your word and to worship our great God today. Father, thank you for this blessing and privilege we have. And Father, as part of our worship now, we want to give back a portion of what you have given to us this week, Father, for the maintenance of this church, Father, for the support of the needs here and the support of our missionaries that we support throughout the world. Father, we just know that the blessings are ours because you are such a great and giving and loving God. Father, we thank you for your love shown toward us. We thank you for Jesus. Without him, Father, we would have no need to meet, and we would be doomed to a Christless eternity. Father, what a blessing and joy it is to be here, Father. Just absorb our hearts and meld them with yours today, Father. Let us be the people that call their God their Savior and Lord. And Father, we thank you, Father, for this honor that we have. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Lord, in prayer, just real quickly, next week, don't forget, Real Men Sing Real Loud. Our men will be in the choir loft next week. And also, Brother Dave will be giving us a Middle East prophecy and so on, Europe, Ukraine update next week in the service as well. Look forward to that. So be praying for him as he prepares. Well, let's go to the Lord together as we go before the Lord and ask God's blessing on our service. You pray for me as I pray for you, and that God will work in the midst of our service today. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before thy throne, we are truly grateful for the privilege and opportunity for prayer. Thank you that you have listening ears every moment of each hour and each moment of each day, Father, for your children. Thank you for the access that you've given us and the request that you've given out to us that we can come boldly before thy throne. And now, Father, as we approach thy throne this morning, we ask that you do what only you can do in the midst of Harvest Baptist Church today. I thank you for our visitors who are with us today. I trust they have felt a warm welcome and enjoyed the service so far. And I pray that you administer their hearts to the preaching of your word later this morning. And I pray that you encourage and strengthen them, challenge them, help them. Father, I pray that you be with our men, the men of Harvest, that you would encourage and strengthen them, put a hedge about them, Father. Protect them from sin. Protect them from physical harm and distress. Father, guard their ears, guard their eyes, guard their speech, and help them be the godly example at home, at church, and in their community, Father, that you'd use them in a way to mentor and to set a godly example for those that are around them. Father, we thank you for our ladies at Harvest as well. We are so grateful for their willingness to serve as well as the men, Father, and I pray your blessings upon them as our ladies strive to be that Proverbs 31 woman. Father, you'd encourage them and bless them and help them, Father. We thank you for those who are involved in ministry here around the campus, Father, from security to the nursery, children's ministry. Father, we are so grateful for those who give of themselves selflessly that minister to one another as we minister to you and worship together. And now, Father, I pray that you would help me this morning. Give me clarity of thought, mind, and speech as we preach the word of God this morning. I pray there's anyone here this morning with us or via the internet that doesn't know that they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven. May today be their day of salvation. May that Christian who may be discouraged, Father, be encouraged and challenged. May that Christian, maybe this getting maybe just a little bit too comfortable in their walk, that would be stirred and challenged once again about our responsibilities to serve the Lord and to be used of you while we can here until you, as you tarry your return. Now, Father, I pray that you bless the special music to come and the reading of your word. And, Father, once again, we ask that you do what only you can do. Move in the midst of your people today, we ask in the wonderful name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Well, we've been in 1 John here for some time in chapter number 5. We've covered the first 5 verses, but I decided to stay in verse 4 and 5 a little longer to talk about the victorious Christian has faith in God. Then we'll move on here in the coming weeks to verse number 6. But let's look at verse 4 and 5 together this morning as we continue with the thought, the victorious Christian has faith in God. Verse number 4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?
Starting the day, he goes before me, lighting the path.
yesterday is the first Saturday I've taken off since 2018. And I mean, I took off. I didn't do anything. And Michelle would say, surprised she's not shouting amen. I slept in a little bit, went on my walk, had a little exercise, and pretty much watched football and ate the rest of the day. And I'm avoiding the scales for the next 3 days after recover from that day of Saturday, wings and poppers and all kinds of food that I ate and watched ball games, and I thoroughly enjoyed it and had my favorite cheerleader watching the ball game with me. All right, we have read our text this morning, and I'll do a quick recap while I try to get wired up here this morning. We have on the aspect on this Victorious Christian series, the Victorious Christian has faith in God. Faith in God leads to a home in heaven. We talked about 2 weeks ago. Faith in God leads to a relationship with God. Faith in God leads to purpose for living. Faith in God leads to assurance. Faith in God leads to rest during the times or storms of life. And then faith in God leads to courage when we fear last week. And this morning, number one, faith in God leads to wisdom. I think that's something we all could use a little more of. And, of course, the book of Proverbs is a good book to read on wisdom, but we'll look at a few other things as well this morning. But faith in God leads to wisdom. How is your faith in God? How is your spiritual wisdom growing and multiplying in your walk with the Lord? See, most people are confused about where they came from, where they are now. It's like a political party, doesn't it? When the world leaves God out of the equation or out of their lives, they usually embrace foolish thoughts and beliefs such as evolution. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and verse 20 and 21, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babbling, in oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning their faith. Grace be with you. Amen. See, in Noah's day, God's word was scoffed and mocked just as it is today. If we give more value to scoffers than we do scripture, we will end up conforming to the world. You see, Noah was victorious over the scoffers because he had faith in God and trusted his command and his warnings. Do we have faith in God? Is our faith in God just as strong today as it was yesterday? Is it just as strong when things are going our way as it is when we are struggling in some areas? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, the Bible says, By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You see, faith in God and what God has promised us in his word will give us victory over foolish ideas and crazy assumptions. See, God's word gives us wisdom and common sense instruction that enables us to have victory over destructive decisions. So when we are making decisions, are we basing them on scripture? Are we basing them on the walk and relationship what we have with our Heavenly Father? Again, in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the words of God, so that things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. And then in James chapter 1 and verse 5 and 6, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven with wind and tossed. So, dear friends, don't let the disbelief of this world, don't let the confusion of this world, just make sure we allow those things toward God and his word cause us to doubt. Don't let the chaos cause you to doubt. Don't let the confusion cause you to doubt. Let's rely upon what we know to be true. Here, we went through a problem some years ago where everybody wanted to yell, follow the science, if it was convenient for them. But now they don't want to follow the science, nor do they want to follow the science of the word. We need to keep our faith in God based on scripture, not assumption or not of man-made ideas. Here's something we need to consider. Never put a question mark where God has put a period. That would make life so much simpler. Don't question God. See, doubt shouts, God can.
Faith shouts right back. Excuse me. Faith shouts, can God? Faith shouts back, God can. And here's our problem today is, do we have the... When we kneel to pray, are we asking in faith? Or are we asking in hope? Do we have faith in God? See, in fact, faith is not just believing that God can. It is knowing that He... See, God is the promise-keeping business. He keeps His promises. God is in the promise-keeping business and doing the impossible. So the first challenge I've asked you this morning before we move on, faith in God leads to wisdom. How is our wisdom? How is our faith in God? Are we looking to God, those of us who may lack wisdom? And let me tell you, every week in sermon preparation, I say, Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me fresh ideas. Lord, give me illustrations. And sometimes they don't come on my notes, but they come while I'm preaching. But I ask Him, Lord, give me wisdom. Help me. And we should do the same in our daily walk. Lord, give me wisdom. And have faith to know and to believe that He will. Next, faith in God leads to the removal of obstacles. Something's in your way? God, would you move it? Something is hindering you in your walk with the Lord? Something is hindering you and causing you strife in your personal life? Have you said, Lord, would you please read? Matthew chapter 17, verse 18 through 20. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples and to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, your lack of faith. For verily I say unto you, for if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and shall be, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Folks, I'm not sure how big a mustard seed is, but it must be awfully small. It must be very little. I've seen mustard powder. I've seen seasoning people use for mustard in their cooking. But I'm telling you, the Lord says, just a little faith. Just a little faith. Just believe and I will show you. See, what is the victory that overcomes Satan? We this morning. It is faith in our champion, the King Jesus. You see, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory that helps us overcome our obstacles. Faith is the victory that helps us overcome difficulties in life. Faith is the difficulty that helps us overcome our doubts and fears. Faith is the victory that helps us day by day as we walk this Christian life here below. Beloved, we have a very big God who can defeat Satan and give us the victory over the things the devil tries and tempts against us. Yes, he does intimidate. Yes, he attempts to defeat and will even destroy us if we let him. And that's what we need to focus on, if we let him, because he can do nothing without permission from God as far as we're concerned as believers. You see, faith in God will overcome the devil and his attacks. How are we doing? Faith in God leads to wisdom, but also leads to the removal of obstacles in our life. Faith in God equips us to conquer our unbelief and do those tasks that are difficult or what may seem to be impossible. See, we hear or tell others, it can't be done. See, our faith in God leads us to do and helps us to overcome obstacles and equips us to be victorious over our doubts and unbelief of a mustard seed. Jesus spoke about moving mountains. See, faith is telling a mountain to move and being shocked if it doesn't. Think that for a moment. Faith is telling a mountain to move and being shocked if it doesn't. In other words, I'm absolutely confident God's going to do this. Well, Pastor, have you ever been in a position that you had great faith, God could do it, but he didn't? Well, yeah, of course. Maybe God knows better than I do, or maybe God says, wait another day or two. Maybe says, God, wait a little longer. But I still am going to have faith that God can do what he said he would do. See, every great achievement was once considered to be impossible. Think about that for a moment. How many things have appeared or seemingly been impossible, but because of great faith, things? Christians should not pray for a faith that moves mountains, but a faith that will move you. Yeah, let's pray for a faith that moves mountains, but let's also pray for a faith that will move us. that will move us unto works, that will move us unto service, that will move us to have greater faith, that will move us to be used of the Lord and allowing God to use us. See, that will move you to do what God has called you or led you to do. That will move you to trust and obey Him. Do we have enough faith to not just trust God? Do we have enough faith to obey Him? I think that can be one of the scariest things in all the world. I can remember having a conversation. I hope I'm close. God wanted us to do. Knowing the short time left before graduation, what God would have us to do in the next step. I remember being challenged by my missions teacher, Dr. Dan Truax, who's in heaven today. And he encouraged folks, just let me help you with your faith. Pull out a piece of paper. Just pretend like it's a check and put in there, God, please fill in your will for my life, and go all the way down to the bottom and sign your name. Put it in your notebook. Pray over it every day and wait upon the Lord to tell you, direct you where you can fill in. But let me tell you, dear friend, he would say, when you sign your name to it, ask yourself, do you trust God enough to fill out that blank check? Do you trust God enough? Or are you willing to obey Him, a faith to obey Him in whatever it is that God would have you to do? Yes, it leads to great wisdom. It leads to removal of obstacles. But it still takes faith and movement to see it accomplished. See, faith believes what you do not see. But the reward of your faith is to see what you believe God would do. Here's a great example. One of my favorite pastors, preachers, and evangelists to read about it through the years. Some of you may know or be familiar with the name of George Mueller. If not, I encourage you to find a biography or autobiography on him. But George Mueller of Bristol, England, was a man of great faith. He was the pastor of Bethesda Chapel and began an orphanage out of 1832. Yes, out of necessity, because it wasn't being done. No one else was doing it, and there were all these children within the streets of Bristol, England. Mueller, who had 2 shillings, or about 15 cents to his name, when he began the orphanage. But over the next 60 years, God sent more than 7,500 pounds to supply their needs through that orphanage. New buildings were built or purchased. Staff was hired, and hundreds of children never missed a meal. Prayers were offered to the Lord over empty places. At the last moment. I remember reading of one story in the history of Brother Mueller and them praying and sitting down talking about the very same thing, empty plates. And the children were concerned about what they were going to eat. And they knew right away that, hey, what Brother Mueller had taught them, we're going to bless what's not here because we know that it's coming. Kind of like sitting at the dinner table. When maybe your wife calls the children, all the family to sit at the table while she's still cooking. I just want you to go ahead and sit down. Let's go ahead and pray. It's almost ready. That's the kind of faith they had, those young boys and girls, those orphans, that God was in the kitchen preparing the food and they prayed to bless empty plates. When the children asked Brother Mueller, can we pray for more than just food? Can we pray that God might send us some ice cream as well? And the story goes that they prayed. No sooner they said amen, a knock came on the door and a frozen food truck had broken down. Everything in there had defrosted. Nothing had went bad. I was in the melt. And the driver knew that George Mueller had an orphanage. He said, Mr. Mueller, I need your help. I've got all this food that has thawed out, ice cream that is melting. Do you know some boys and girls that might would enjoy this? Well, needless to say, there was a lot of boys and girls thrilled, not only about a meal, but about even the ice cream that was on the truck. That's the kind of faith George Mueller had. That's the kind of faith that he taught those boys and girls in the orphanage. Mueller resolved never to tell anyone what his needs were other than God. What, can you imagine that kind of faith? Having all the needs, but telling no one but God in prayer. He told his needs to God and confidently expected them to be met. And they were. George Mueller lived by faith. faith. Because of his faith in God, God used George Mueller in many ministries. He pastored a church of more than 1,200 members. He held Sunday school classes that taught and evangelized thousands of children. He housed, fed, clothed, taught, and evangelized over 2,000 orphans each year. For decades. He supported 187 missionaries. He organized a scriptural knowledge institute that distributed Bibles and tracts. And during his life, Mueller started 117 schools that educated over 120,000 children in orphanages. He was a man who had great faith in God for his needs and never asked man for a dime. Only prayed that God would impress upon others to supply and to meet their needs. His faith led God to move mountains. When's the last time God moved a mountain for you? When's the last time God moved a mountain for Harvest Baptist Church? When's the last time God moved a mountain for Christians here in the valley? Dear friends, I'm not going to worry about when the last time was, but I'm going to start praying now that God will begin to move some today. That God will begin to move some tomorrow or next weekend. Whatever his timing is, I'm just going to ask God to move some mountains, to make things happen, that we might see revival in our homes, in our church, in our community, that things would change and cool atmosphere in our world today, and that God would move and do what only he could do. Relying solely upon God's word, the power of the Holy Spirit, and prayer, Mueller supported all of these works that I mentioned and left a legacy of faith that continues to live on. Faith in God leads to wisdom. Faith in God leads to the removal of obstacles in our life. And faith in God leads to strength against Satan. Dear friends, I don't know about you. I need that strength every single day. There's not too often I wake up that I don't feel like sometimes that there's a target on my back. See, our faith in God and reliance upon him enables us to be victorious over satanic attacks and temptations that we face. You see, God gives us the ability to do what is right. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to often say, do right, do right, do right until the stars fall. And that's what we need to do. Lord, help me to do right. Help us to do the right thing. Help me to have the right testimony today. Help me to live by faith and have faith in you today. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. The Bible says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, who resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in this world. Dear friends, too many Christians make the mistake of pausing or saying maybe to temptation instead of a clear, definitive no. We're just like our children. We have three girls and a boy. Boy, our kids would get excited about hearing a maybe because it wasn't no. They got happier over yes, but they still got happy over a maybe because it didn't mean no. And dear friends, we need to learn no to Satan, not dwell, not pause, not consider, not think about it, but just a clear no. You see, no leaves no option to say yes. You can't get rid of a salesman or a cult unless you can say no and close the door. We need to learn to say no. Though we may say we are interested in buying Satan's, that we're not interested in buying Satan's sinful products. Dear friends, if we leave the door ajar and continue to discuss sin's tempting wares, you will get pulled in. Come on, guys. We're the same way. Come on, gentlemen. How many times have we been in an area and just because those shiny guns and bullets and electronics are on sale, we think, well, it's on sale. I got to look. Yeah. You know, the wife will step over and whisper, if you don't look, you won't buy what you don't need. Sometimes we just have to learn to say no. Yeah, treat ourselves, but make sure we're treating ourselves to the right thing. That it's not temptation, it's not the devil or the things of him. Dear friends, don't leave open the possibility for the devil to make a sale. He is persistent. He is consistent. He doesn't give up easily, and we need to be ready to say no. Again, sometimes it's daily, sometimes it's more regular. I can remember a stint as a young soldier in basic training. It seemed like I was saying no every single day. I mean, the temptation was there, the pressure was there. Those I worked with, those I trained with, the drill sergeants, those who led us, all the difficult. But I learned real quick, if I just make my stand, and my youth pastor warned me, he says, you better make your stand on day one. Because if you don't, you'll keep pausing, you'll keep floundering, you'll keep having problems. You might have to say no more than once. You might have to say no, drill sergeant, or cover your ears, or whatever you need to do. If you take your stand at the beginning, it makes it easier because they will begin to understand what you're going to do. Dear friends, establish that relationship of walking away when things are being said that aren't right. Walk away, cover your ears, do whatever you need to do to not be involved. Let your testimony be known, because we know that Satan is going to attack, and we need the strength that the faith will give us when Satan comes our way. Don't put yourself on a path of temptation. Don't play with it, because you will get burnt every single time. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Absolutely nothing. Don't give him an inch. Don't give him a centimeter. Don't give him a millimeter. Don't give him anything. Turn and walk away. Rebuke him. James chapter 4 and verse 7. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You see, our faith in God enables us to overcome this world because of what it provides for us. Michelle and I recently took a trip and went hiking in Sedona. And as many of you know, I have been on a diet. I've been watching what I eat. I've been exercising. I've been staying away from the scream area because I know I can't. It just seems like I can only buy it in half gallon and gallon sizes. And we were there. We had a great hike. We enjoyed the time. But you know, we said, wait, maybe we ought to just treat ourselves. So we went by the food to the grocery store, and I said, you know, I really want some ice cream. I wonder if they have this small pint sizes. And wouldn't you guess it, the first aisle I walked down, everything was on sale, and it was a half gallon in gallons. I just went like this and kept walking. And God bless me, I found a little pint size. Two for one. I got one and Michelle got one. This is good. What was that stuff? I didn't get two. I only got one, right? Yes, I got one. See, I helped her out. I gave her a bite. But I tell you what, the temptation of having to walk by, getting past ones, and boy, let me tell you, it was so good, and I hope it lasts me a good. Have temptations. Things are going to come our way. Yes, being a little tempted on my diet and cheating a little bit and having that pint, I don't think it's going to hurt me. But when it comes to spiritual things, there's no such thing as a little won't hurt. There's no such thing as just a little pause won't hurt me. Yes, it could lead to disastrous things. We must keep in mind that our faith in God will lead to strength against Satan. He will empower us. He will help us. He will encourage us. He will strengthen us. Faith in God leads to a home in heaven, a relationship with God. Faith in God leads to purpose for living. Faith in God leads to assurance, as we studied over the last couple weeks. Faith in God leads to rest during our storms in life. Faith in God leads to courage when we fear. Faith in God leads to wisdom. It leads to the removal of obstacles. And faith in God leads to strength against Satan. Dear friends, our faith in God enables us to be victorious Christians. And you know this, but the world needs to see more victorious Christians. The world needs to see more Christians living for God, serving God, and making a difference. But unfortunately, many believers do not live in victory. They live in defeat. What are some of the causes of the defeat of Christians? We'll look at that here in the coming weeks, or some of the causes of this spiritual defeat Christians face. But let me ask you this morning as we begin the close, how is your faith in God? If you could measure it, if you got along with the Lord, just you and him, and said, Lord, show me where my faith needs to grow. If you got along with your spouse and had some time of constructive criticism to encourage one another, how would they evaluate your faith? How would you evaluate her faith? How are we doing in our faith? Do we have the faith of a mustard seed? Or do we have a faith that we know how big our God is? So as we close this morning, just let me simply ask you this. Do you think there's something that God can't do? And then if you believe that, then there's your problem with your faith. See, there's nothing that God cannot do. And we need to be concerned about what God can or can't do. We need to be more concerned about, I know God will, and pray that way. Continue to search and to see and not give up. Brother Dave gave a good illustration this morning about prayer. About, I prayed for something last Thursday, and now this week I'm wondering why it hasn't been done yet. Prayer is that continually. And those of you that have children, you know what I'm talking about. Maybe my children are different than your children, but my children kept asking until there was a definitive no. And then after a week went by, they would ask if I changed my mind. They didn't give up. Do we have the same process in our prayer life? Our faith in God? See, the victorious Christian does have faith in God, and he does move mountains. He does do all these things that we've talked about. Faith in God leads to. So this morning, what do you want your faith to lead to in your walk? Let's pray together. Heads are bowed and eyes closed as we stand together. Our pianos will make her way to the piano this morning as we stand together, if you would. And I'll ask the question before I pray. What do you want your faith in God to lead to? What are you praying for your family, for your spouse, for your church, for your community? What do you want your faith in God to lead to? It's led to so much already. It's given you a home in heaven. It's given you a church family. It's given you Christian family members, maybe others of your family you want to be saved. But is your faith in God leading to that? Are you living in such a way that they will see your faith? What is your faith in God leading to? Father, you know the needs that are represented this morning. Pray that you speak to the hearts of your people this morning. And Father, again, I pray there's anyone here that doesn't know that they know that they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven, may today be their day of salvation. May that Christian who's questioning some faith in their walk be encouraged and challenged to just give it to you. Father, help us during this time. Help us to yield ourselves. Help us to have faith in you that you can and will meet our needs in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed. Our pianos is playing. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, where you stand or here at the altar, why not do business with the Lord? Ask God to help you to increase your faith. Ask God to help you in your faith of what to pray for and how to pray. And then again, dearest Christian, what are you praying for? What are you asking God to do? How big is your faith? And what has your faith led to that you're rejoicing over? And what does your faith need to lead to as you pray and seek God's guidance in your life? Seen much victory lately, let me challenge you. Look inward at your faith. Are you relying upon Him? Are you looking to Him? Are you doing much of yourself and in the flesh? Let's have faith in God to do what only He can do in our families, in our lives individually, as well as collectively in our church family and in our community. Let's have faith in God. Dismiss in prayer. I just want to remind you, of course, that God loves you. His preacher loves you. If I can help you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. And let me encourage you and challenge you. How big is your faith? What are you praying for? What are you asking God to do? And I hope that you're reminded, as I'm trying to remind myself, the next time we complain about our country, about our life, about our job, about what's going on in our community, let's automatically flip the switch and say, how have I been praying about it? What have I been doing to make a difference? How is my faith in this area? And let's ask the Lord to make a great impact and a great difference. All right, I'm going to make my way to the back. Brother Sam Hagedorn, would you please lift your voice and dismiss us in prayer?